We follow along in our studies in the names of God. And I must say to you today, as we think of all the names we have taken up thus far, you know, really, we haven't even started to scratch the surface of the revelation of what God has revealed to us in His name. Do you remember? He did everything for His name's sake. He's underwritten every word by His name. And He's not only the Elohim who created everything, and the El Elyon, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, and that wonderful one, the El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient One, the Nourisher of His people. But He's also Jehovah, the Ever-Present God, the Self-Existent One, the I Am, the Eternal God. This is His eternal name, as we found in chapter 3 of Exodus. And we found that He is the one who was especially coupled up with His people. The word used for the unsaved, for the Gentile nations, which was used over 2,700 times, is the word Elohim. It's the regular name for God. But when we speak of Jehovah, He's the one who made the covenants with Israel. He's the ever-present God, who always was and is and ever will be. And I find that Israel and God's people, even today, are as eternal. And I say this very reverently. We are as eternal as the eternal living God is Himself. You know, this gives a wonderful assurance to the human heart. Having taken the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, and having been brought into union with Jehovah, with El Shaddai, my friend, what a wonderful thing. He's not only the ever-present God, but He's the Almighty God. He's the one who is always and ever sufficient for His people, for you and for me. And we found that this name, Jehovah, was related to the work of redemption. He's called the Redeemer in the Old Testament. And may I remind you what I've said before, and I repeat it. The revelations of God in His names in the Old Testament we find fulfilled and revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Who is the Elohim, the Creator of the Old Testament? Jesus of the New Testament. Who is the Most High God of the Old Testament? Jesus is the Most High God of the New Testament. Who is the El Shaddai of the Old Testament? Jesus is the El Shaddai, the Almighty of the New Testament. Now, we took these scriptures up. Now, I want you to do the same thing with this name, Jehovah. Now, we found that the revelation of His name is found in Exodus chapter 3. Now, I'm going to read these verses, chapter 3, verses 10 to 15, and chapter 6, verses 1 to 8. The book of Exodus, chapter 3. God had looked down upon Israel, and He could say, I have seen the affliction of My people. I've heard their cries, and I'm come down to deliver them. And I'm going to bring them up into the out of Egypt, into the land that is a good land, flowing with milk and honey. In verse 10 He says to Moses, come now therefore, I will send you to Pharaoh. Now notice, now I'm going to bring this personal letter in here. Shall I say this personal experience of Moses, because it compares so much with the believers today. God had said to him, come now, I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. And Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Why should I go? When I was 40 years of age, I tried to lead these people out of Egypt, and they wouldn't receive me. Do you think they'll receive me now that I'm 80 years of age? Why pick on me? You can just hear this in Moses. I'm perfectly content to take care of some sheep. Now remember, this man Moses had been for 40 years trained in all the learning of the Egyptians, trained to be a Pharaoh on the throne. And I find him running away into the wilderness when he's 40 years of age. This man who was trained to be a military strategist, a ruler of the great empire of Egypt. I find him now a sheep herder. Quite a distance, isn't it? From a pharaoh to a sheep herder. And it's when he becomes a sheep herder, after 40 years, that God said to him, "Come, Moses, I want you to lead them out." And Moses said, "Who am I? Why do you come to me?" Do you know, I've heard Christians say that. When God gives people an opportunity of doing some service for him, sometimes they say to God, "Why pick on me? Why, brother so-and-so, he's the man to get a hold of, or Mrs. so-and-so, she's got gifts. Why pick on me?" And so you lose the opportunity of becoming a real channel of blessing for God. So what do you have here? "Who am I?" And then the Lord very graciously said to him, "Now listen, Moses, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. And you'll serve God on this mountain." And then Moses said, "Behold, when I come to the children of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of my fathers has sent me to you,' they're going to say to me, they're going to ask me this question, 'What's his name?' What shall I say to them?" Notice how he's beginning to fight the purpose of God for his life. How many Christians are trying to thwart God's purpose in their lives? Look at it now. 80 years of age, and God says, "Come now, come now. I'll send you to Pharaoh." "Who am I?" "Well, I'll be with you." "And who are you?" Now mark the answer, verse 14. "And God said to Moses, 'I am that I am.' And you tell them, 'Jehovah has sent me unto you.'" And you remember I said in verse 15, "This is my name forever." Now turn over to chapter 6 of Exodus. Verses 2 and 3, "And God spake unto Moses and said, 'I am Jehovah. I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, unto Jacob, by the name of El Shaddai, God Almighty. But by my name Jehovah was I not made known to them.'" And you go down through to verse 8, all the way down through, God says, "I will do this, and I will do that, and I'll do the other thing. I'll take care of the whole business. I am Jehovah." Notice it's God meeting with Moses at the burning bush in the wilderness. And the people of God had been in a furnace of affliction, as Deuteronomy chapter 4 declares. But God was with them in their affliction. Remember, for 400 years he hadn't left them. And do you think that they had followed God? No, here's the tragedy. And I'm going to be mentioning this again in some other of these messages. It is not that God had left them. The fact was that they had left God. In fact, while they were in Egypt, they had learned idolatry. Now, that's very obvious when you come to the 31st chapter, or 32nd chapter, pardon me, of the book of Exodus, where Aaron took the gold and silver, you remember, and he made them a molten calf. And they not only made the idol of the calf, but they knew exactly how to worship the calf, with all the immorality and nakedness that went with it. Where'd they learn that? In Egypt. People today say, "Well, God has no more thought for us. God has left us." It is not that God has left you, my friend. The truth is, you have left God. God never leaves us. May I again suggest, he's Jehovah. And even though this world today, even here in America and all over the world, men have turned from God, they've gone into idolatry. And in this country, we were full of false isms and false religions, immorality, lawlessness, you name it. It's a worldwide thing. And yet God does not come in judgment. He He is still manifesting His grace. God still loves men and women. He gives you the rain. He gives you your harvest. He gives you everything. The birds, as I said a while ago, the birds still keep on singing. And the ground still gives its increase. God has never left man. God made man for Himself. But man has turned from God. And remember, He is the ever-present God. And if I'm talking to any today who have never come back to God through Jesus Christ, my friend, how much longer are you going to keep the Savior waiting? You see, the reason why the judgments of God have not fallen upon the world is because He's still wanting men and women to come to Him. He wants you to come to Him and accept Him as your own Savior. Who? The ever-present God. And your way is through Jesus Christ, God's precious Son. And when you and I accept the Savior, we not only come into right relationship with the living, eternal, ever-present God, but we come to that place where we become the special objects of His love and affection, and we can enjoy His fellowship and His communion day by day, hour by hour. This is a living reality. I'm not talking about religion. I'm not even talking about doctrine, though of course that's included. What I'm talking about is the life, a real life of relationship with God, with Jehovah, the ever-present God. And too many of us are like Moses. When God revealed Himself to Moses, and Moses said, "Why pick on Me? I'll be with you. And who are you?" "I'm Jehovah. This is My eternal name." And then when you come to chapter 6, "Now you go ahead and lead them out. I'll be with you. I'll bring you out from Egypt. I'll bring you as a people to Myself. I will bring you into the land that I swear I would give to your fathers. I am Jehovah. I'm the ever-present God. I'm the one who's able to do this." And listen, my friend, God's always looking for men to reveal Himself. God wants to reveal Himself to you. You see, "Well, Mr. Mitchell, I want the truth." "Yes, but you're still reasoning. You're still debating with God. You're still resisting Him by your unbelief. And let us not dishonor God by our unbelief." "Well, I want to know the truth," you say. You can know the truth. The question is, do you mean business? Do you mean business? God says He will do exactly what He wants to do. He said to Moses, "I will bring you out of Egypt. I will bring you into the land that I promised to your fathers. I am Jehovah." He's the ever-present God, and He'll keep His word. My friend, if He would do that with Israel, will He do less for you? Will He do less for me? Don't you love those verses like Philippians 1:6, where Paul says, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you shall perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ." Or you take 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12, where Paul says, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Or take the word of our Savior in John chapter 10, starting at verse 27, when He said, "My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of My hand. My Father, who gave them to Me, is greater than all, and no one is able to plunder them out of My Father's hand. I and My Father are one." Oh, listen, friend. Have I made it clear to you that the eternal God who is El Shaddai, the Almighty God, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, is also Jehovah. These are not different gods. Some of these liberals declare that these are different gods. You have a God in the first chapter of Genesis. You've got a different God in chapter 2. You've got a different God in chapter 14. And before you know it, they've got 30 or 40 gods. No, my friend, it's the same one. This is the growth of revelation of God to men and women on earth. He reveals himself. He wants men, he wants you and me to know exactly who he is and what he is. And what I'm trying to get to you today is the fact that Jehovah is the ever-present God. He's not the God that was or the God that will be. He's always God. He's the ever-present God. I am that I am. Ever-present. I'm not surprised when I come to Hebrews. You remember chapter 13, verse 5, it says, as it is written, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Why? He's the ever-present God. And I know I am talking to people today, and I know because I receive letters from you people. And my heart goes out to many of you people. And I wish I could write a personal letter to everyone who writes in. I'd love to do that. But I'm thinking of some of you dear saints today, and you feel so alone in the world. You see, I feel this because I've been with so many. And my heart goes out to you. And I want you to realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal God, the Jehovah of the Old Testament, is right there with you. He's the ever-present God. And he wants you to know that he loves you, that he'll never leave you, and that you are as eternal as Jehovah himself. And he loves you with an everlasting love. You know, when I think of Israel, when I think of Israel, 400 years in captivity, 400 years groaning in affliction, in slavery, with no heart for God. They had forgotten God. In fact, when Moses said, if I come to this people, they were going to ask me the question, what's your name? That's how far they'd gotten away from God, and yet God never left them for one solid moment. He had heard every cry. He had heard every groan. He had heard every murmur. He had seen everything that had happened to the Jews, and he says, now I've come down. And you go and tell them, Moses, I have never left them for 1 minute, and now I'm coming. It's time to move. And God is always on time. Now, as I take up these other revelations of God, I want you to make it personal. I want you to enter with me into this thing. I want you to know your God. Oh, what a God we have. The Most High, who owns everything. And you're a joint heir with him. And he's El Shaddai. He's the Almighty God, the All-Sufficient God, the one who's able to nurture you and the one who's able to fulfill every detail of every promise he's given to us. And now he's the Jehovah. This is his eternal name, the ever-present, ever-wonderful God. Now I'm going to stop right here. I haven't finished yet. I want to continue on this question of Jehovah. I would like to bring it right into your heart, something that wherever you are, in your home, in your office, in your shop, as you drive your car, wherever you are, that Jehovah, the ever-present God, is with you. If you love the Savior, he's with you. He never leaves you. And if you have never taken Christ as your Savior, and you know nothing of this life in Christ, this life in the presence, the reality of life in the presence of God, I want you to know that he still wants you to come. Because it's his great desire that all men should come to know him. He's not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. He's long-suffering to usward. He's not willing that any should perish. You! He's right where you are. Right where you are. I don't care what condition you're in. Right where you are. Whether you're an alcoholic, whether you're on drugs, whether you're dead insane, I don't care where you are, what you are. The ever-present God is waiting to save you. He's never left you. He wants you to receive him as your own personal Savior. Now, why not do that? And do it today.